You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
George Washington knew firsthand how awful smallpox was. He caught it as a teenager during a trip to Barbados. It knocked him down for weeks. Rashes, backaches, chills, painful sores, nearly a month of sickness. According to the CDC, smallpox once killed about 30% of its victims. Survivors were usually left with scars, including young George Washington. Decades later, General Washington wrote to the President of the Continental Congress, John Hancock. He passed along concerns that the British were releasing smallpox-infected people into the population. Flat-out biological warfare.
Biological warfare during the Revolutionary War. This is August 7th, 2021. That's a report from Joshua Johnson, host of MSNBC The Week. His information, from everything I've seen, is true. And inside the truth and inside the story are several questions that we need to be facing. And we have faced to some extent, but the landscape continues to change. We're always, at this point, questioning each and everything. On one hand, that's good, to question each and everything. Regardless of what I say, question for yourself. And then other times you're told, don't question, just follow the orders. Well, which order again? And which science? As I said the other day, the problem we have here with a lot of those pushing for the vaccinations from the beginning and making COVID out to be that it was not going to be a big deal, then it was, it wasn't from China, now maybe it is, it was a leak, no, it might be. Which science are we supposed to follow? As I said the other day, the only science I see being followed in many cases is political science. But you, your family, your health, and your family's health are at stake. So is the same for the rest of Americans and the world itself. There's a study that the CNN was quoting that came from Maggie Fox, and what they found is a study from the Nature Scientific Report that even fully vaccinated people need to start wearing masks again because they found that a fast rate of vaccination decreases the possibility or the probability of emergence of a resistant strain. Basically, the vaccination itself is not enough to stop the spread of variants. So mask up again. Weren't you told? I know you were told. I was told. Get the vax, you won't need the mask. And we reached the point that even Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York City said, I really don't want to tell everybody to go back to mask because it defeats the purpose of trying to get people to get the vaccine. And yet on the other side, we still have a lot of questions about the health concern, rightly so, especially for children. These are not FDA approved yet. They're still in the process. So they are, quote, still experimental, but needed at this point. And the CDC is admitting that nearly 400 children between the ages of 12 and 17 have been diagnosed with heart inflammation after getting the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine. That coming out just a couple of days ago. And yet at the same time, Dr. Fauci is saying again just yesterday, I don't think we're going to go into a full lockdown, that we don't need to. But also admitting the mask guidance has changed because this Delta variant is so easily transmissible that you might have the vaccine, you might pick up the Delta, and then it won't bother you that much because you're vaccinated, but you might pass it on to someone else that it might. And against this whole background, when you look at the number of COVID deaths in D.C. compared to the number of homicides, The number of homicide deaths in D.C. surpassed coronavirus deaths in that city last month by a 3-to-1 ratio. And yet, look at what they're doing when you're talking about not locking down. Look what they're doing in Australia. They have police helicopters flying back and forth over various parks in Australia, telling people to get inside, stay inside, and sending police through the area to round them up if they don't. And again, if we're going to be told that we're constantly going to really do the best battle to stop COVID, when are we going to shut down the border? I don't want to hear the noise and possibility. I want to say shut it down. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We had 150 plus days of unprecedented sustained violence in the city of Portland. And our rapid response team, along with others from the police bureau, came out every night, stood the line with, like you said, Molotov cocktails, urine, feces, rocks, bottles, everything else thrown at them, plus being doxxed, their home addresses being put out over loudspeakers, their families being threatened to be assaults. We had a murder during one of the riots. We have multiple assaults during the riots, and also multiple assaults of police officers during those same riots.
That's a story directly from what's happening and has been happening in Portland and other cities as well. That's just one example of what police officers are dealing with on the streets on a constant basis. That's specifically Portland. As the note was made, we've had 150 days of continuous violence on a continuous basis. What kind of toll do you think that comes with when you start doing that, when you start constantly embattling police 150 nights from the very beginning? Do you not expect that you're going to lose officers either because of morale or injury or just exhaustion? That's a police association executive director in the Portland area, Daryl Turner. And he's saying that's what officers are facing. And, of course, keep in mind, we've got various mayors across the cities and blue states. They really want to defund police, right? They want to cut back. They want to pull monies out of police operations and put them into something like, for something like special mental health cases. Well, now you've got the money you want to spend on something like that. That's true. It's a fact that you have many on the streets that are health-related issues, many of the homeless. But do you think defunding police is going to resolve any of that? And now the D.C. mayor has recognized that that's not such a good idea. The same mayor of District of Columbia, which they, of course, want to become a state, had already said that they wanted to cut money. Across the summer, as we were seeing the push for defunding and so forth, the mayor stepped up to the city council, basically, and got them all to agree that let's cut funding, because that's the thing to do. Everybody wants to start cutting. Well, now they've reached a point that because of the violence in D.C., they've got to reconsider. I mentioned this in the opening monologue. Let me repeat it for you again. The number of homicides in D.C. surpassed the number of coronavirus deaths in that city by nearly 3-to-1 ratio in July. 21 homicides throughout that month. 8 coronavirus deaths, according to the CDC. And one of them now involves the most recent, a July 16th killing of a 6-year-old. A 6-year-old. Doing nothing but riding a scooter, but got caught in gang warfare. The councilman for that district said, we put a lot of resources and time into the COVID pandemic. We're in a pandemic right now when it comes to crime in this community. We've got to start acting it and acting on it. As of July 10, D.C. has recorded 100 homicides. That is the earliest city, the earliest date the city has hit that number since 2003. 100. And, of course, we had Mayor Bowser and the rest of the Democrats all saying, we need to defund police. We need to start backing out. We don't need as many police. And she gets help from a lot of the AOC type that come rushing forward that they want to say not only defund but actually get rid of. And in New York City, they were facing the same thing. And, of course, they're also having a spark in crime. Are you surprised? Of course you're not. You're realistic. You understand. Chicago, another case where they said, oh, we probably need to back off. Let's start looking for ways to defund. In this last weekend across Chicago, 51 shot, 51, and 6 fatal. That number might be resolved, might be brought down to 4 dead. Maybe it might have been reporting 2 of them twice. It's not sure. But at least 4 are known dead and at least 41 shot as they continue to work out the numbers and do the investigation. One of them, again, involved a mass shooting in Chicago that left a 14-year-old boy dead. We have reached in this country an attitude that police are not that important. We don't care about them. We're going to spit on them. We're going to vilify them. We're going to hit them with bottles of urine. We're going to attack them day in and day out. And if they make any move that we can document on camera, say, see, that's police brutality, then that's a reason to shut everything down. But the mayor of D.C. now recognizes with the violence she's got in her city, you know what she wants to do now? She's trying to hire 170 officers. Trying to hire 170. Because the officers they lost through defunding, the officers they lost through demoralization, the officers who just said, I'm not going to put my life on the line out there anymore, no one appreciates it. So they walk away. Would you question there walking away? Would you say, well, try to stay in there with us? Well, of course, you'd like for them to, but at some point they say, hey, I've got a family too, and I want to go home at night. So now they're trying to rehire officers. It was last week I let you hear some very candid sound from the D.C. police chief, Robert Conte, and some of his remarks the other day when it comes to the kinds of crimes and the kinds of criminals they've got on their streets, worth repeating.
Because most of the communities that I've talked to have no clue what happens with these cases. They don't. But I'm going to tell you the truth. The real issue is we have a vicious cycle of bad actors who do things, no accountability, and they end up back in community. And the police officers, and I guarantee you, when we lock up whoever did this, they will be no stranger to us. I promise you that.
And why he's staying, obviously, is that you have repeat offenders, repeat violent offenders. And they think that's, again, going to be a way to make things better. And now the city of New York has decided what we can try to do out here in New York is, and other cities are contemplating the same thing. I think New York is probably the first to actually try to put it into effect, using mental health trained personnel with going to crime scenes. Yeah, they did. They put together a $130 million plus plan to help on mental health a couple of years ago, or more than that now. And then they continued to do even more. But now they decide, you know what we will do in some of these cases, that we would just send a mental health trained professional, maybe with a paramedic, to any case where we get a report that this person's a little crazy. They may or may not be armed with a knife, but they're still kind of crazy. See if you can go out there and talk them down and calm them down. How about the mental and moral health of police officers? But let's just, again, focus on just what they're trying to do in D.C. and others. They're just going to decide, we don't need to send police to every call. In fact, a lot of our 911 calls from now on, unless it's a violent crime, we're just not even going to bother taking. We're not going to send police. We'll send a mental health professional and a paramedic. God help them. God help them. They have no idea what they're walking into. And what's the first thing they're going to do when things go south, if they're able to? They're going to call for backup. They're going to call for police, understandably. Do you want that job? Do you want to step up and say, look, I really care about the homeless, and I know a lot of them are mentally health challenged, and you get a call for some altercation involving some homeless person, probably they're going to be mentally health ill. Let me go. I'll go take care of it. Good luck with that. God go with you, because you're going to need it before it's over with in many cases. And to that extent, again, even after you go and deal with it and you settle it down, either there or with police, if there's a need to make an arrest, if there's a need to incarcerate, you're going to find prosecutors just aren't on the same page as police anymore in many cases. They're going to look for any way and every way to get the offender out of trouble, not go to jail. Give them a get-out-of-jail-free card. That's been happening in Portland. All these 150 days of rioting and so forth, obviously documenting who's throwing what at police on video. More acts caught on video in Portland, Seattle, and those other cities than any caught inside the Capitol. But no one cares about going after these and getting some kind of response, some kind of justice. Just listen to Police Association executive again, Daryl Turner.
The same district attorney who indicted our officer declined 80% of the crimes committed during those riots by people. 80% of the people who were charged, who were arrested by Portland police during those riots, 80% of those were declined by the DA's office.
Wow. Do you think that city officials in Portland have your backs?
No, they do not. Night after night, we were criticized by everyone, our elected officials from the DA's office through some of our city council members who are supposed to look at us as a subject matter experts and obviously hope that we are doing the right thing and depend that we're doing the right thing, but definitely supposed to support what we're doing out there when we're doing the right thing. And that's not what happened. They actually encouraged and enabled some of the violence that was going on during those 150-plus days.
And what does that mean for the morale of the officers? Damaging. If before they can even finish the paperwork, the district attorney's already rubber-stamped a get-out-of-jail-free card, and they're already home or back on the streets creating more mayhem and crime. That's why police officers say, well, what's the use? What's the use? And yet we've got the progressive squad, and among them now, because she wants to be center stage and be part of the big movement, Missouri Congressman Cori Bush. The other night, Trey Gowdy, who has his own program now on Fox News, made some remarks about Cori Bush. And I want you to hear it again.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Cori Bush tells us she's progressive. The better word might be hypocritical. She wants to defund your police while she has a robust personal security detail in Washington and St. Louis. And that sends the clear message that her safety is more important than yours. You look at the neighborhoods where the violent crime is taking place, and it's not country clubs and gated communities. It is neighborhoods that cannot afford to pay $70,000 for their own personal protection. Funding your own police force while you advocate to cut the police for others is not progressive. It's hypocritical.
Yes, it is. Those, again, the words of Trey Gowdy, now a Fox News contributor, former South Carolina congressman, on a commentary he offered a Sunday a week ago, but it's worth bringing back into play because last night, Cori Bush again, trying to show that she's woke and she's going to get things done, she decided to sleep on the steps of the Capitol last night. And other members of the squad ended up joining her, and they were protesting the fact that their House colleagues had adjourned for August recess without passing an extension of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control Prevention eviction moratorium for renters. That actually expired Saturday night. This is a delicate balance area here because obviously there's some people that either did lose their jobs or had their business shut down. They can't get back to work. Now there are jobs available, but it takes a while to get money back up. And they're on the verge of being evicted. But, of course, at the same time, if you are a property owner, I don't mean you're a rich person, but maybe you got one or two apartments or a couple of houses, the bank's coming after you because you're not making a payment because you're not getting a payment. But here she was last night trying to say, how can we go on a vacation? We need to come back here. So she slept overnight. I don't know if she's going to continue. She got other members of the squad to come out and join her. And at Nancy Pelosi's estate, gated estate in San Francisco, about 40 activists showed up in her house. taping an eviction notice on her door, actually on her gate, protesting that she also had done nothing to stop it. This is the left turning on itself and eating itself, and I absolutely enjoy watching it, to be quite honest. But there is a lot at stake here in the sense of what can happen to families and where we go from here. The main thing is that when the CDC decided that it had the authority to tell landlords you cannot enforce an eviction, that was a step too far as many on the legal side were considering. But if you watch the continued attacks upon leaders, you're going to find many of them are beginning to feel the heat. And the D.C. police chief again the other day was saying part of the problem is you're trying to coddle criminals. You can't do that. So they're going to learn the hard way with that. I've got a guest coming up. He's an attorney, writes for Forbes, townhall.com, also did a piece for National Pulse, partly dealing with COVID, but he said if reporters had any credibility, that they'd be asking valid questions. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned. Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned.
Run, run, run with a railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on, and
you gotta move on at night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest, we spent a time trying to get things lined up to get him on board and finally did. I'm glad he was able to join us. He's an attorney in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but he does writing and pieces for Forbes, regular contributor at townhall.com, The Observer. You can follow him on Twitter at T Farnan Law. That's F-A-R-N-A-N Law, at T Farnan Law. Or go to Larry Connors USA at Larry Connors USA Twitter and you'll get more information. Tom, first of all, glad to have you on board.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be with you.
Well, you wrote a piece that interested me for the National Pulse. And what you were doing in this piece, you were basically kind of reciting some of the facts as stated by National Pulse. You weren't necessarily questioning. In fact, you said they're undisputable facts, as reported. But what you were pointing out, which a lot of Americans would share your view, is why aren't reporters asking some good, solid questions out of what they see? For instance, one of the things you were pointing out was involving Dr. Fauci, who finally admitted some expenditures of taxpayer dollars to the Wuhan Institute. But keep in mind, he says just a small amount, and we were not doing gain of function. You're saying that reporters, legitimate, good reporters, should have been pressing that instead of waiting for Rand Paul.
Yes, I've been mostly writing for the National Pulse for, you know, a little bit over a year now. I've been working with Raheem Kassam, and he's got a young reporter there by the name of Natalie Winters, who has dug very deep, you know, on this China stuff and the Wuhan lab stuff. And some of their revelations have been spectacular. You wind up reading the same revelations, you know, without attribution in places like the Daily Mail 2 weeks later, But they've really gotten to the bottom of this. And I said, okay, let's take the universe of facts that they've uncovered. And what if we had real reporters? You know, I begin my piece by asking, where would we be today if the mainstream media was staffed with the gin-swilling muckrakers of yore and not the easily triggered posers selected for employment in the field by demonstrating their servility to power? You know, and I'm thinking about, you know, those guys you and I used to watch in the 1970s, Larry, you know, the Morley Safers that would go into the corporate boardroom and make the guy sweat, would ask some difficult questions. Nobody's asking difficult questions now. Raheem and Natalie are, and others are, but they don't get a seat, you know, in the room.
Well, they would get tough questions if they dare appear on Fox News has been better than most. And if they're dealing with the National Post, we should point out for everyone, is mainly considered a conservative publication. But if they're in their safe confines and surrounded by their loveys and CNN and NNN and the rest of them like that, they're not going to get anything tough.
No, they're not. And, you know, you had the spectacle a couple of weeks ago of Jon Stewart making fun of the fact that, of course, and I linked to this in my piece, of course this leaked out of the lab. You know, it wasn't generated by some bat, you know, in some wet market. It leaked out of the lab. They have a lab in Wuhan that developed this virus. So, you know, apparently he's been, you know, reading some of the right sources. And, you know, what he said bears, you know, hitting the link and watching. And if this did leak out of the lab, that's a big, big deal.
I was just going to say, as you're probably aware, there's a new report that came out now that they're raising it. I had it here in front of me. Congressman McCall of Texas, top Republican in the House of Foreign Affairs, just released an updated report coming from the panel's GOP staff saying, I think it's time to completely dismiss the wet market as a source of the outbreak. All the evidence shows it came from the WIV. Well, most of us already figured that out anyway, but yet we still have others dancing around saying, well, maybe.
Well, if you said it a year ago or you know, 15 months ago on Twitter or anywhere else, you were banned from social media and kicked off of YouTube. I know the people at the National Pulse, you know, had those issues, and they were some of the earliest to this reporting. But now it's pretty much undeniable. You know, one of the crazy things here is that our federal bureaucrats, Dr. Anthony Fauci in particular, covered this up. You know, he covered this trail where it went back to the Wuhan Institute and tried to perpetrate the idea that it was, you know, from the wet market. And those sorts of things should be examined. They should be questioned vigorously.
They have not done so. You're right. And in fact, you mentioned the suspension from big tech just this last weekend. You got Sky News Australia Network was banned from uploading video content, supposedly spreading misinformation about the Chinese coronavirus. Everything I put up on my Facebook or even a tweet, if I just say we're going to discuss COVID, immediately it gets flagged with for real, full, factual information, go to this source. And all I did was say we're going to be talking about it. I didn't express an opinion one way or the other.
Right. And you know, these are now beyond opinion. This is fact. This is fact that's been reported. This is fact that's been established. The things that people were being banned for 8 months ago are now established facts. And with these facts, you know, the next thing we should be doing is asking difficult questions, especially of our bureaucrats that work for the federal government. You know, I watch Rand Paul ask Anthony Fauci questions, and, you know, it seems like we're through the looking glass. Anthony Fauci is offended that he would ever have to face these questions from a United States senator. And that's not how it's supposed to be.
No, not at all.
The bureaucrats work for us, for the government. they should answer these questions.
You're listening, Thomas. You're listening, Thomas J. Farnan, an attorney in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Numerous contributors to various pieces. One of the things you're also raising out is some of the things are just a lot of us just common sense type thing that it wouldn't. You don't need to be a reporter to ask the question. You pointed out that even the New York Times finally had to make a question out of this 6 foot distancing and say basically. Where's the science in that? Why 6 feet? They finally asked the question. What kind of answer did they get?
So, yeah, there's really no answer. We're putting together public policy based on these assertions that you're not allowed to question, but people should question them. You know, this week I posted, and I'm also on Getter. I do more on Getter than I do on Twitter. I think Twitter's a dying entity, especially for the right. But on Getter, I am also at T. Farnan Law. And it's a quote from Galileo. And he said, in questions of science, the authority of 1,000 is not worth the humble reasoning of a single individual. And we have a lot of humble reasoning by individuals there, like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? Where are the causal connections? How is this policy effective? And we're not getting any answers. So, you know, very often you write a piece like I did and, you know, you're accused of being a conspiracy theorist and all my stuff is put through the ringer at Facebook and on Twitter and discounted.
What I get mostly from you is you're just asking a question. If this is what the fact is, how can you explain? And as you say, the tomb time's a mystery. And in particular, you're talking about Dr. Shapiro that apparently gave a frank assessment that what we need to learn in 30 days to slow the spread. And keep in mind, we were told by Fauci and everybody, of course, in the beginning, Fauci said, no big deal. You won't even need a mask. Then you need one. Maybe you need two. Get the vax. You won't need it. And now they're saying that you're going to need it again. Where's the line, though, between things are changing or they didn't have a good handle on it or just good reporting and interrogation to begin with?
You're right. As long as I'm just framing them as questions, no one can call me a conspiracy theorist. I'm just looking for good answers here. And nobody's asking the questions and nobody's providing good answers. And I quoted Dr. Shapiro because I live in here in Pittsburgh and UPMC is my health care provider. And he may not appreciate, you know, that I'm bringing it up and talking about it on the radio. But he did give a frank assessment in early May. And he said, you know, the modeling show just didn't occur. So here's what we should do. What we cannot do is extend social isolation. He was for ending the lockdowns at that point. I think the science at that point, the experience at that point said, end the lockdowns. Why did the lockdowns continue? Why were they politicized? Was there a political advantage taken in continuing the lockdowns? I also think those questions should be asked.
Well, let me wrap up on one question that you asked that I think all of us have to. If they tell us to follow the science, and you raise this question, if we're going to follow the science, this is where they really have a hard time identifying the science. Your question, if someone with a penis claims to be a woman, where's the science? 30 seconds, sir.
Well, that was my leading health bureaucrat here in Pennsylvania, and her position, his position prevailed over that of my health care provider, UPMC. So I did sort of put a throwaway question in there, but I think it sort of rings true. If someone with a penis claims to be a woman, has that person already demonstrated a willingness to favor political judgment over science? Because that's a political judgment. It has nothing to do with science.
You're absolutely
right. But I
think
my healthcare provider should have been listened to and followed. And there are other great scientists out there that the government's ignoring, but they should be listened to, and we should have rational policy and not what happened.
Tom, I appreciate it. Thomas Farnan, thank you very much. Stand by. My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. perfect, plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This next story should come as no surprise to you, and I doubt it's even a surprise to those in power. They will probably deny it and say it's not true, that can't be, but I think they're going to find out the facts are there. We're 6 months, 6 months into the Biden-Harris administration. And the latest Monmouth University survey, just released, shows that Biden is consistently losing points with the public each month he's been in office. His popularity with Americans slipping as inflation rises, no kidding. Illegal border crossings skyrocket, no kidding. You also had a recent Rasmussen Report survey indicating at least 52% of likely voters disapproved of Biden's track record as president. 26% of the same said they strongly approve of the far-left direction he's chosen to take. 26%. That number should frighten you. It's a small number. It's only a quarter. But the very fact that 25% like the fact that he's trying to be more progressive, he's not there yet, but they like the fact he's trying to be. We do know what this country transformed. We want to stand by what we have that we founded this nation upon, and our freedoms and our liberties, the very things that make us a beacon to the rest of the world. Can we make some changes? Sure. That's why I point out to you all the time, this program is not so much about your political stripes or your color or your religion or your ethnicity or anything other than, are you a patriot? We could have disagreements on this point or that point, and maybe even severe disagreements. But the bottom line is, are you a patriot? If you were one of the ones who think we need to just change this entire nation, turn it upside down, defund police, open our borders, don't really do anything for anyone except put everyone on a payroll check from the government, and everyone will live happily ever after, then go to Cuba and see how they like it down there. Go to North Korea, see how they like it. And then you come back and you tell me everything's fine. I heard somebody on a talk show over the weekend basically say, these are their words, I've talked to people in those countries, and they're happy with what they have. Really? If they told you that, they were fearful of being spied upon. They're not about to speak out against their government. That's the difference we have in this country. You can speak out. You can disagree. You can protest peacefully. But in those countries, not going to happen. And the last report, we're still not getting any reports out of Cuba that are up to date and current, so we know what's happening. Ever since the demonstration started a week or so ago, you're not getting much information. Do you think that's because everyone down there has decided, oh, we're all happy, we don't really have any issues anymore? Do you think they just decided, we don't need reform, we like everything here? Do you really think that's going on down there? Surely you know better than that. And yet if you watch and see the reports from the state-controlled media, the problem down there is not the government, because all the people are happy. They like living in poverty. They like living with little or no food to eat. They like living day to day in the entire nation. unless you're the very, very rich. And the same can apply to Venezuela. The same can apply to North Korea, to China. How many people are trying to get into those countries? Would that give you some idea? Just simply ask how many are trying to break the laws and the borders around those countries to get in. I can't think of any. Now, I do know that in the past we have had some American soldiers. The DMZ in Korea, separating North and South Korea, one in particular from the St. Louis area, decided to cross over and become a member of the North Korea community. But for the most part, no one's trying to get in. Most are trying to get out. They've got food shortages, medical shortages. And what they were shouting the other day in Cuba was not, we need COVID, we need food, we need water. Not asking for a vaccine. They were saying, we want freedom. Freedom. And if you support that, then this program is for you. 100% patriotic. And we've got more coming up on the other side. And in fact, we're going to deal, of course, with how the CDC is still trying to manipulate things and you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.